All right. We are in back in our book, continuing on. We are in chapter number 5, Battle Ready. We're talking about the armor of God, and we made a few statements. I won't review long, just a minute or so, and then we'll get into some new material. We talked about the fact that we all have a spiritual enemy. His name is Satan. He is real. He's not some you know, caricature. It's red with a pitchfork and all that. He is real, and he is after us. This is a battle that no matter what, we cannot avoid. And it is a battle that we should absolutely win. My monitors are really low, if we can work on that, guys. But it's a battle that we should win. If you have a spiritual enemy, the whole premise is, and battle is inevitable, then what should we do? We talked about the aspect where what do we need to understand about the armor? And now we are talking about the individual pieces of the armor. And by the way, whether or not you like it, you are to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy tells us, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Not just a soldier, we're to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So what were some of the pieces? What are the pieces of the armor? We looked at a couple. First of all, we looked at the girdle of truth in Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 14, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Why is truth so important? Well, we remember what is the greatest characteristic of Satan, and what does he use against us? Lies. Bible says he's a liar, the father of lies. And so if we're going to defeat a lie, you defeat a lie with truth. That just makes sense. Verse 14 again, and having the breastplate of righteousness, protects all the vital organs. It's interesting that what protects the vital organs, what protects us, is righteousness. By the way, on a very practical level, living right is by its very nature protective. We tend to think of God sometimes as looking down, waiting for us to sin or do something wrong, so that he can punish us. But the fact of the matter is, violation of sin really has built-in consequences. And the breastplate of righteousness protects us from these things that are harmful and hurtful in our lives. That's all that we have got through so far. Let's look at some others this evening. Next, the feet of the gospel. The feet of the gospel. When you talk about feet, you're talking about direction, movement. And in movement entails you're going in a certain direction. We are to be moving forward and advancing, and that is what Satan is willing to stop at all cost. What is the goal and the main purpose of our life on this earth? Really, the main activity we're to be involved with is to get the gospel out to this world. That's how we advance. We make think of it this way. How would you like to fight in a war? And as you're fighting in this battle, you can actively get soldiers that are on the other side on your side. That's really what soul winning is. You say, well, they're not actively antagonistic. I know, but if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're not working for his goals. They're not working for his aims in this life. But when they get saved, they can. It's important that as a Christian, we are headed in the right direction. Direction's important. It's not necessarily how far down the road you are. It's are you headed down the road? There could be somebody in the Christian life heading down the spiritual road that's farther ahead of you, but if they're coming backwards and you're going forwards, you're doing the right thing and they're doing the wrong thing. I don't care how much farther they seem to be ahead of you. So it's the direction. We are to be in the direction of actively serving the Lord and getting the gospel out, progressing forward in that direction. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15 says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Why is the gospel of peace? Well, because it brings peace with, it brings man into peace with God. We are at, because of our sin, we are actually at enmity with God. There's a there's a wall there. What break, and until our sin's forgiven, that wall is going to continue to be there. And so it brings peace between us and God, but thankfully too, it brings peace into our life. Whenever our sin's forgiven and that guilt is taken off, and I know salvation is not a feeling. It's not. Some people are more emotional than others, but I had been dealing with it for so long. When I got saved, I did feel good because God had been dealing with me and convicted me about it, and I knew I was now forgiven. And so that there was that peace there that my eternity was now settled. There's no greater peace than that. But it is interesting that one of the pieces of the armor that prepares us for battle has to do with peace. See, we have a greater purpose than just defeating our enemy. We don't fight just for the sake of fighting, right? You ever meet someone, they just like to fight? You know, either it's arguing or some guys just like to fight, cause trouble. But there's a greater purpose in winning this battle. Remember, Our enemy is not people, are not people. It's Satan. Now, there are people that don't know the Lord, and they are antagonistic towards Christianity. They don't like what you're doing and this and that, and Satan may try to use them, but ultimately, they're not our enemy. Now, sometimes we want to feel like they are. Some of the things that go on in our society, there's some really evil people out there. Okay? But you understand the master behind all of it is Satan and his plan and all that's going on. And our goal is if we start seeing people as our enemy, we're not going to see people as what they are, prospects for salvation. That's why they're not our enemy. They've really been blinded by Jesus Christ. The great battle is for the souls of men. Let me just say that. That's why if you're a defeated Christian, you're hindering that. You're hindering that. I've said it over and you already know it. God has so designed the gospel to be shared person to person. Everywhere in the Bible. So you got to take the gospel to the world. And so if someone is a Christian and their life and their testimony is not right, they're not going to be out sharing the gospel. And it's actually hindering to the cause of Christ. But as we are advancing and fulfilling God's will and getting the gospel out, we move into the devil's territory. Our primary objective in doing so is to share the gospel. The devil wants to keep the world in darkness, and when we are getting out there and witnessing to people, we're infringing on his territory. But it's very important. We are to bring the light to darkness. Paul explained this in his defense to King Agrippa. These verses are not in the book. By the way, this series is going a little bit longer because I know we do different things on Thursday night. We're not even halfway through. If you'd like to get a book, you can still get one of these books. They sell them at the bookstore. I think it's $5 or whatever. But in Acts chapter 26, verse 15 to 18, he goes, "And I said," he's given his testimony, "Lord, who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus Christ, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of the things which I will appear to thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." I find it very interesting that Paul's salvation experience came with a command as to what God wanted him to do, to get the gospel out, to serve him, to be his witness. And by the way, that's not just him, that's all of us. He saved us and he wants us to serve him, but to get the light in to the darkness. Where is the darkness? The darkness comes from Satan. That is the purpose of believers. That is the calling of the church. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We know all the verses. I won't go through all of them. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. We know that verse. We're supposed to get the gospel out to the whole world. In Matthew chapter 28, and Matthew chapter, you just go through all of it. The gospel is a part of the armor, part of the war, because the gospel has power. So often people say, you know, you ever see, you're supposed to witness for Christ. If I do that, I'll do more harm than good. How are you going to do harm? If someone's on their way to hell and you talk to them, are they going to go to a worse hell? No. By the way, you don't save anybody. You don't save anybody. The gospel saves it. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now he says this next. For it, what, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. You ever see a new convert? They'll come in and say, you know what, Bill saved me. I'm like, man, if Bill saved you, you are in some serious trouble. What they mean by that is Bill's the one who shared the gospel with them, okay? But Bill didn't save them, and neither did you. And by the way, we're not out giving some type of wonderful sales pitch. I've met people, they could sell ice cream to people in Antarctica. That's not how people get saved. We give them the gospel. We tell them their condition. The Spirit of God, through the Word of God, convicts them, and the gospel works in their life, and they get saved. So it's the power of God. And this power is not for destruction, it's for good. By the way, if you're in a battle, you want the power. But in this case, it's not to take people down, it's to lift people up. And we have the gospel. And by the way, the gospel is available for everyone. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, the fact of the matter is, some people just won't receive it. You know, we go door-knocking sometimes, you talk to somebody, and they want to argue with you. And you want to sit there and debate with them, and you'll spend all your time debating with someone who's not open to the gospel. When five doors down, there may be somebody that's waiting for the gospel that would hear it. There are people that are available. There are people that are open to it. And so it's our job to get the gospel out. People must be, this battle isn't about personal power. This battle isn't about just defeating Satan. The reason we want to defeat Satan is so we can live right and do right, and we can make an eternal impact in this world for those that do not know Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. We're not some charismatic people that want to come in here and I'm binding Satan. We had this nutty group in the early days of our church, these charismatic Cambodian Christians that wanted to go around to the churches, and they split a couple of them, and they came to our church, and right in the middle of the service, they want to get up and pray about Satan, and we're like, be quiet. Get out of here, we'll carry you out. Sitting up and yelling at Satan doesn't bother him at all. You know what bothers him? When we're making advancement on his territory. And the way we make advancement is we get the gospel out. If he can get us caught up in anything else that'll keep us from our goal of getting the gospel out in our community into this world, if we get involved in anything else, we're actually doing his work for him. And so it's very important that we do that. Next, the shield of faith. The shield of faith. He uses in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, he goes, above all, taking the shield of faith. Above all, that means the shield of faith is one of the most important pieces of the armor. Faith can be defined really as believing God enough to do what he says. Faith isn't just some like a weird feeling I have. Oh, I just have faith. You know, it's just a belief. I have faith that this is going to happen. Well, that's great. That's tremendous. Do you have any proof behind that? You know, we have faith in what the Bible says. If the Bible says something, it's rock solid, and we can put the base, we can base our life on what it says. Verbally, many would say they would have faith in God, but few back it up with their actions. Well, you know, I don't go to church or any of that stuff, but I have faith in God. No, you don't. You're not even listening to what he says. And by the way, it takes faith to live for God, because it flies in the face of what we want to do. Sometimes it just doesn't make sense. Think about giving, right? God will take care of you if you give 10% of your income away. Now, there is no financial manager that would tell you that that's a good idea. You know, like, yeah, you know, if you give away more of your money, then you're going to have more. It's a faith issue. God said do it, so I'm going to do it. God promised if I do it, he'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, and he'll take care of me. So by faith, I say, I'll do it. You read the Bible, and all throughout the Bible, living for God is the best way to live. It's the best way to have blessing in your life. Following his will is best for your life. It takes faith to say, you know what? It doesn't seem like that to me, but if God says it, I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to do it. That takes faith. Hebrews chapter 11 is called the, you know, some call it the hall of faith, whatever you want to call it. But it's just not a chapter of saying, oh, this guy had faith, and that guy had faith, and that guy had faith. It says, by faith, so-and-so, and it tells you what they did. It was action-based. The faith was their basis for their actions. When Jesus got on the disciples and said, oh, ye of little faith, why? It's because of the way they acted in situations. They didn't act in accordance to their faith. I mean, Jesus is at the bottom of the ship sleeping, and they're afraid the ship's going to go down. I mean, there's the Savior right there. Okay? And so they struggled with it. And by the way, if they struggled with it, we're going to struggle with it. By faith, we act in accordance to God's will. Satan throws his fiery darts at us, and we're able to resist and block each one because we are living by faith in God's word. Doubt, lies, all those different things. Ephesians 6 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The devil has many fiery darts at his disposal. He fires darts of unbelief. And by the way, we've all had those, right? You know, does God really know what's going on? It's okay to have those. Don't you know, it's okay for that to visit you. Don't let it park. You know what? I trust God. He knows what's best. Discouragement. God doesn't love me anymore. Just read the Bible. It says he does. And you have to, by faith, when you don't feel like it, believe it. If faith is a belief that guides my actions, or acting on my beliefs, then obedience shields us from the darts of the devil. All that he throws at us is designed to cause us to become disobedient, to not use our faith. It takes a while. It took him a little bit to get Eve to disobey God. And he threw some things at her, and he was working on her, and he can be patient. That's his goal. Obedience is the natural result of real faith. It's also a genuine expression. So when it comes to faith, the Bible makes it clear how vital it is to the Christian. Romans chapter 1:17, and in several other verses, it tells us we are to live by faith. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just. Who are the just? Those that have been justified. Those that have been saved. The just shall live by faith. Now it gets worse. Not worse. It gets deeper. The Bible tells us that anything we do that is not done by faith is sin. Romans 14:23. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That sounds to me like is a big deal. Okay. Sounds to me like God expects us to have faith. And it tells us to take it a step farther, that if we do not have faith, we cannot please God. Hebrews chapter 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Not difficult. Not, you know, hit and miss. It's impossible. You can't please God if you don't have faith. We need faith, for it is the only way to properly protect ourselves from the attacks of Satan. But, and understand, we know this. Faith is only as strong as what it is placed in. Right? People have misguided faith. You know, someone said, you know, somebody lets a person down in life. I had faith in that person. They let me down. Well, your faith was only as strong as that person's actions. I know this. If my faith is in God, it's in the strongest thing it can possibly be in. And so that's a good faith to have. I don't have faith in myself. It's not just faith that gives me the victory. It is faith in faith. Some of these faith healers and all these knuckleheads and prosperity, their faith is in faith. It is not in God. 1 John 5:4 says, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's the possibility. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. How do you defeat the world? Faith. When you have faith in God's word, you do what God's word says over what the world says. You'll do God's word, you'll obey God's word over what everything the society is pushing us. Before we move on, understand that if faith is our shield, I learned this in college, then Satan will attack us in any area where we are not displaying faith. Because if we're not displaying faith in an area, we don't have the shield up. Right? If you're trying to take an enemy out, you want to find out where his weakness is, because that's where they're unprotected. You want to find out where their lack of protection is. So you name an area of your life where you're not living in accordance and obedience to God's word, that's where he's going to come after you. Because you don't have that shield of faith in up. And then next, the helmet of salvation. The helmet. Of course, the helmet is a piece of armor that protects a soldier's head. The head is a main target in battle. You know, you look at snipers, you want to take somebody out, shoot them in the head. That'll pretty much end it right there. You can shoot them in other parts of the body, and that might take them down, and if you hit the right shot, you might take them out. But if you get them in the head, you know, case closed. Okay? It operates you, your whole body. The same is true spiritually, as Satan is targeting and trying to influence and control our minds. Because what we believe in our mind always determines and leads to our actions. We know that from Romans 12. Be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. You have to get the bad stuff out of your mind and put the good stuff in. Okay? And if you renew your mind, then you're going to renew your actions. That's what transformation is. Transformation is a change on the outside that is manifested by your actions on the outside. It's when you're different inside and it makes you different outside. And you're not going to be different outwardly if you're not different inwardly, particularly in your thought process and what you believe and what you're putting into your mind. One way is we're not solid in the assurance of our salvation. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. Salvation is what it is that gives us this opportunity to transform our lives. We have to be saved. And if we're not assured of our salvation, we're never going to go forward. Our mind is a strategic battlefield, and we must be careful to protect it. You have a home security system? Why? You want to know if someone's coming in. You want to keep bad people out. And so you're going to protect it. Okay? And that's important. And yet we're very sloppy with the protection of our minds. That's more important than anything. And I'm not beating a dead horse, because that would take a lot of energy. But we need to be careful for ourselves as well as our children. When our children are home, it's up to us to make sure we're being the protectors. They're clueless. Oh, but my little Einstein's intelligent. I know, he's clueless. Okay? Be very careful. We mindlessly let them have technology. Or really, we're very careless in our own lives with technology. We're just opening up our minds to all kinds of filth and all kinds of garbage. Be very careful. And I won't say it, but you can fill in the blanks. I don't think any kid ought to have a phone. Okay. You can fill in the one word. Why? Are you kidding me? Do you know what's in that thing? Poison. Okay? Be very, very careful. We're not vigilant to pay attention to what they're listening to and watching. And our society is getting worse, by the way. Oh, no, that's a family-friendly company. Do you know what they're peddling now? And your children are going to sit there and watch and like, why are those two girls kissing, Mommy? Well, they shouldn't have watched it. You know? Why is that guy in a dress? Because he's got a mental disability. He doesn't need to be uplifted. He needs to be helped. Yeah, he. What's our preferred pronoun? Let me help you with that. If you're a guy, it's he. If you're a girl, it's she. If y'all are together, it's they, okay? I haven't seen that. We went to a museum in Portland, and we're buying the tickets to get in the museum, and there it is, my preferred pronouns. And by the way, his pronouns didn't match up with his biology. Let me just tell you that right now. You know, it's like, where'd that all come from? This is a bunch of nonsense. I don't know how I got into that, but I feel a lot better about it. But we have to be very, 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 very careful. We're putting our kids into dangerous situations. We don't pay attention to what they're watching. We're not the biggest area, and I know you don't want to hear it. I'm sorry, but what are they being taught? Even their little YouTube videos, you know. Sitting them in a school where teachers are going to teach them all kinds of nonsense. Our kids can't even count anymore. I mean, it was Daniel. He was with us. We were in Pismo Beach and we were getting a cinnamon roll. There's a place in Pismo Beach that's really good, by the way. But anyhow, and the girl there, she wasn't retarded. She wasn't done, but I gave her the correct change and she couldn't figure it out. And I counted it for her. I'm like, here the change is like, and I slid it and I counted it. And she's like, okay. And then she looked at me again. And then she pushed one of the coins across and said, what is that? I'm like, that's a nickel. And she goes, how much is that worth? And I'm like, 5 cents. And I counted it out for her again. And when she counted my money back to me, she didn't give me enough money back. She was a dollar short. I didn't say anything because the mental energy was like flowing. But she wasn't a dumb kid. They don't teach that stuff in schools anymore, by the way. And for the most, it's just like, okay. But they don't care if your kids learn that stuff anymore if they're good social citizens of the city, of the country. That's why our Christian school is so important, so important. We don't protect what all of us allow in our minds as well. The people we hang around with. By the way, even people at work. You know, if someone's a knucklehead at work or they're espousing nonsense, don't listen to that stuff. Now, don't jump on the table and say, pagan! You know, just find somewhere else to go, all right? You don't need to be an idiot about it. The stuff we're listening to and we're watching, you got to be very, very vigilant. By the way, let me just say this. I'll throw it out there. You can take it for what it's worth. The reason all these companies, all this, are pushing this stuff on us, by the way, it's in commercials too. Marriage and blah, 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 and there's two girls. They're doing that on purpose, by the way. And by the way, they know that when they do it, they lose people. Why do they still do it? Because they know you'll come back. They know you'll come back. So be very, very careful, okay? Because the more that stuff gets in our mind, the more it just becomes commonplace. The fact that anybody in our society would think that just by saying that you're a certain gender that you are is beyond ridiculous, and yet a lot of people in our society believe it because they've been dumbed down and taught it for so long. And so it's very important we don't do that. Be vigilant. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations. These are all war analogies. Casting down, throwing it down to the every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And how do we do that? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Those thoughts try to get in your mind, you need to reject them. And you need to say, that's not what God says. That's not the truth. Okay, be very, very, allowing the wrong things in your mind will lead to living an action that is wrong. But if you allow the right things in your mind, that'll lead us to do the right things. And so that helmet of salvation, it protects our mind from these things. But we do have to be very, very, very vigilant about it. And we'll stop right there. Let's pray together. Father, again, thank you for this time we have to be together. Thank you for the armor of God that protects us from this spiritual battle. May we all be very, very careful. We are in a spiritual war. And all around us there are opportunities to be tripped up. And if we're not vigilant, if we're not taking care, if we're not taking advantage of the opportunities and the tools that you give us, the protection that you put in our way, we are doomed to defeat in a battle in which we should win. Help us. Help us to be careful. Give us the power. Work through us mightily to serve you and to love you, to be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.